and welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm so glad that you've decided to join us today. On behalf of myself, Pastor Rod Hank, and Pastor Ryan Jerome, we thank you for worshiping with joy. We have a couple announcements as we begin our time together. First of all, this is the third Sunday in Advent. This is the Sunday of peace, where we pray for the peace of God in our world and in our hearts. The announcements for tonight. We are having our regular Christmas Eve services. There are four of them on the 24th, and they are at 1, 3, 5, and 7. What I have to share with you today is 3 and 5 are already full, so we have 1 and 7 left. It's filling up quickly. We can have 50 people at each service, so I invite you to sign up if you're interested in being here in person on Christmas Eve. And of course, I need to mention to you again that this is all based on state and local regulations, and if anything changes, we'll certainly let you know if you've registered online. There is the week following Christmas is typically when we have our family blessing service, and it's a beautiful service where families gather together and they come forward and we lay hands on the family and we pray for them. We ask if there are any specific concerns and we ask a blessing. Well, we are still going to have a online and in-person family blessing, but it's going to have to be different in person. You understand that. But we will have a general family blessing, but this year we're going to try something different in response to the situation we have. We are going to ask if you would like to have to receive an individual family blessing. So what we're asking you to do is send an email of confirmation to us that you would like that to happen, any specific prayer requests that you have for your family, and Pastor Ryan, Lindsay, or me, we will actually record an individualized blessing for your family to play during the service as you watch it together at home. So we invite you to send those emails. The deadline is going to have to be the 20th. December 20th, that's the deadline to receive them. If we don't receive them by then, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to make them. So please send those in, those requests, as soon as you can. Also on the 20th, on December 20th, we're going to have the Children's Christmas Program online and in person. Linda has worked really hard to make this technology come together, and there are many kids involved with our Christmas Eve program, or our Christmas celebration program on the 20th, and we will share that with you on that day, so please tune in. Also, in relation to kids, beginning the first weekend in January, the Sunday school program is going to try something a little different. We're going to deliver boxes of content for Sunday school. There are going to be some gadgets and gizmos and papers and teaching stuff that you and your family can enjoy over a period of time. If you are interested in receiving that, if you have not signed up yet, please email Stephanie Hawley as soon as you can. And our final announcement today, this is the day that we collect our Stewardship for All Seasons commitment cards. And Joe Fangman is going to talk a little bit about how this might work.
Good morning. On behalf of the Stewardship for All Seasons team, we'd like to thank you for reviewing the stewardship material you received in the mail. As with so many things this year, the Stewardship for All Seasons team has worked to create a virtual statement of intent card. We want to thank those of you who have already sent in your statement intent, but if you have not, please generously consider going to the link listed above and filling out the statement intent card. It's important for you to know this statement intent card is confidential and only seen by the church accountant. We have so many things to be thankful for here at Joy and so many reasons to be filled with joy as we look forward to 2021 and this wonderful church ministries that we have. Thank you, God bless you, and we wish you all a safe and very blessed Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate the committee's hard work on this. So thank you to Joe Fangman and his family. Thank you to Gail Lehrman. Thank you to Gary Block and Misty Ruth, That's our Stewardship for All Seasons Committee. They have worked so hard to make sure that the ministry of our church moves forward in this next year, because we are going to get back to normal sometime, and we need to hit the ground running. So please consider getting your commitment cards into the church, either via mail or electronically, or however it works for you. Those are the announcements. We begin our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the Sunday we celebrate peace, so let us begin our worship in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take a moment to share that peace with the people around us. We continue our service this morning with the lighting of our Advent candle, and this today is the candle of peace. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe. Your prophets spoke of a day when the deserts would blossom and waters would break forth in the wilderness. Bless us today as we light the candles on our wreath. We light the candle of hope, the candle of love, and today we light the candle of peace for our waiting world. Strengthen our hearts, Lord, as we prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus. May he give water to all who thirst, for he is our light and our salvation. Blessed be our God now and forever. Amen. Our opening song.
Someone shining from the desert. Someone shining from the sea. Someone shining from the mountain. Someone shining from the valley. The sun. Messiah, come and
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose forgiveness is sure and whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Together, let us honestly and humbly confess that we have not lived as God desires us to live. Let's take a moment of silent reflection. Loving and forgiving God, we confess that we are held captive by sin. In spite of our best efforts, we have gone astray. We have not welcomed the stranger. We have not loved our neighbor. We have not been Christ to one another. Restore us, O God. Wake us up and turn us from our sin. Renew us each day in the light of Christ. Amen. People of God, hear the glad news. By God's endless grace, our sins are forgiven, and we are set free, free from all that holds us back, and free to live in God's peaceable kingdom here in this world. So, may we be strengthened in God's love and comforted by Christ's peace and accompanied with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing together on Jordan's Bank, the Baptist's Cry. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the words of your prophets, that, anointed by your Spirit, we may testify to your light. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with the reading of the lessons.
The first reading is Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. Though the people had returned to Jerusalem from exile in Babylon, they continued to face hardship and oppression. In the language of the Jubilee year described in Leviticus 25, the prophet, moved by the Spirit of God, announces deliverance for those who are oppressed and comfort for those who mourn. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people with whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Our responsive psalm is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then we were like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negeb. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. The second reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. Paul concludes his letter to the Thessalonians by encouraging them to live lives of continual joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. The closing blessing is grounded in the hope of Christ's coming. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this.
Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you a prophet?" And he said, "No." And they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why then are you baptizing, if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with But among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. This took place in Bethany, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue this morning with our children's sermon.
Good morning, boys and girls. It is good to be with you on this Sunday morning. I hope that you're really enjoying this Advent season, and I hope that you are finding and searching for where God is showing up in so many awesome and unique ways during this time. You know, today I have with me here something that was left behind at church. So if it's yours, be sure to claim it here at the church. But this is a compact, pocket-sized mirror. And of course, you can use a mirror for a lot of things, like checking out and making sure that, you know, making sure your hair is looking all nice and it's just the way that you want it. And, you know, how a mirror works, though, is it reflects, right? It shows you something that we couldn't see otherwise, right? It reflects an image, or it reflects, in our case today, it can reflect light, which is pretty cool, actually, when you think about it, because this is a really great image for our lives as Christians and as people of faith. You know, today in our gospel reading, we heard about John and how he was called to be a witness, or he was called to testify to the light. He was called to show or to point to the light of the world. And of course, we all remember that the light of the world is Jesus. So what I love about this image of the mirror and being able to reflect light is, this is what it looks like to be people of faith, right? So the light is not ours. I'm not reflecting my own light. It's not like this is the light of Ryan. No, this is the light of Christ. The light comes from some other place. And in my case, light is coming from the lights in my office, right? So the light is coming from some other place, some other source, and yet I'm able to reflect it to show you that there is light here, right? So as Christians, we recognize that the light that shines with us is not our light. It's not ours to keep, and it's not ours to begin with, but it's a light that has come to us through Jesus Christ, and then we are called to reflect it, to show it to others so that others can see the light of Jesus, to see the love and compassion of Jesus, that God loves all people and that God sent Jesus into the world to show us and to reveal God's deep, deep love for all of us. So I wonder, what are some ways that you can reflect the love of Jesus and reflect the light of Jesus so that others can experience and feel and know God's great love for them? I want to encourage you to talk about that with your families today. Talk about it with your parents and grandparents, your relatives, your friends. Talk about what are some ways that you are like this mirror and you can reflect the love of God in the world through Jesus Christ. Pretty cool opportunity, right? Pretty cool that we get to be a part of something so awesome and so spectacular as to shine a light in the world. Would you please join me in prayer? Good and gracious God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus into the world to be with us, to show us your deep love and compassion, to offer us forgiveness of sins, and to show us how to live in a new way, a way of following your kingdom, which is built on love and grace and compassion and kindness and generosity. Help us to see and know how we can be lights in this world, how we can reflect your light so that others may experience your compassion and kindness too. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, boys and girls, Christmas is coming. It is so close. We'll see you soon. Take care. Bye.
Brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. It was my third and final class with Mr. Dahl, one of the history teachers at my high school. And having been in his classes twice before, I was pretty familiar with the routine of how things would go. The first day of class was, like many other classes, a day to go over the syllabus, talk about what to expect from the class, and yes, spending some time getting to know one another. Only, in Mr. Dahl's class, I'd come to learn that it was a guarantee the year would start off like this. Each person in the class would be invited to introduce themselves. But this was actually far more challenging and far deeper than you might first imagine. Because Mr. Dahl did not simply want to know your name, he did want to know that, but he actually already had a list with your name already on it, so he already knew who you were. What he was asking and what he wanted to know was, who are you? It was really a question about identity. Who are you? And as I look back on that time in high school, I realize how brilliant he was for doing it, because he knew that we were all trying to figure out who we were. And in many ways, that's the human story. We still are trying to figure out our identity. Who are you? Who are you? It is the question that sits at the center of our human existence. And if we're honest with ourselves, it's the question that we actually dread. Because deep down, there's a part of us that says we haven't figured it out yet. We've been conditioned to believe that our identity is ours to shape and form, that we are the masters of our destiny, the ones tasked with becoming all that we can be. And more often than not, we feel woefully inadequate for such a monumental task, and frightened at being discovered and exposed for not actually knowing who we are. Perhaps even more frightening in all of this is that the question of who are you is really all time from asking the question, why are you here? Why are you here? The question of our identity, who are you, is closely linked to the question of purpose. Why are you here? I worry that if we don't know who we are, we won't have an answer for what our purpose is either. And perhaps the most frightening thing we experience in humanity is feeling like we don't have purpose. So imagine today being in John's shoes or sandals or whatever it is he was wearing on his feet. And you have all of these religious leaders, the powerful, the elite, and they come to you in what seems to be, to put it nicely, a slightly aggressive posture and tone. And they demand that you tell them who you are. Who are you? At the core of your being, who are you? And while you're at it, give us some sense, some indication as to why you're here in the first place. What purpose do you serve here? What an incredibly troubling question this is. How can one possibly put such a complex and rich and deep thing into words? Who are we? And why are we here? That's why I love what John does here. Instead of jumping right in and trying to affirm and justify himself, his identity, his purpose, his worth, he actually begins by answering the question with an understanding of who he is not. He is not the Messiah. He knows that. He is not the Messiah. He's not Elijah. He's not the prophet. And you can almost sense that his understanding of himself begins to grow and strengthen with each statement of recognizing his role is not. Until finally, when he can boldly and emphatically declare, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. By identifying who he isn't, John moves closer to who he is. But how does he get to that understanding? And likewise, for us, how do we grow in our own understanding of who we are? How do we move closer to our identity and thus our purpose? And really, how can one be expected to try and defend and justify simply existing in this world? Because that's seemingly the question at stake. I think it's fair to ask whether such a question is even right to ask another person. And I think in truth, it isn't. It's not fair. It's not right. But it's also not something we need to fear or spiral into an existential crisis over either. You and I do not need to justify our existence in this world. No one does. We do not need to justify ourselves because God already has. John's identity and his purpose in this world stems not from his own understanding, but from who he has come to believe God says he is. It comes from relationship to God in Christ. In other words, John is not determining who he himself is because of who he's decided himself to be. Who John is determined by who God has called him to be. He is not the Messiah. He isn't. And he knows that. And he accepts that. He recognizes that limitation. Because if he were to try and be someone who he isn't, he would fail, because that's not his identity. It's not his purpose. He isn't the Messiah. It's not who God has called him to be. But that doesn't make him any less. And I think that's the important thing in this passage. It doesn't make him any less. The limitations on who we are called to be doesn't make you or I any less. Rather, our identity and our purpose is shaped and formed out of a call. A call that God has placed upon us. A call that has been given to us. And that call is as witness. Witness. It's interesting that in the Gospel of John, this John is not referred to as the Baptist or the baptizer, but as witness. And I don't believe that's an oversight, because what the Gospel of John is really wanting us to realize is that our calling is not so much to go out and be baptizers, although that is important. Ultimately, it is about being witnesses to the activity of God in Christ. To be witnesses. My late mother-in-law, Carmen, God bless her, was a stickler about not pointing at people. It's rude to point, she would say. But I know that she'll hear me, and I know that she will feel the deep love I have for her when I say that John's job, your job, my job, is to be pointers. Because that's essentially what a witness is. A witness is a pointer. Who you are is a child of God. You are is a sinner redeemed by the grace of Christ. And as such, who you are called to be, your purpose in this world, is to be a pointer. Because the thing about pointing is when you point, look. When you point, others look. That's probably why my mother-in-law said it was so rude. But when one is pointing, but when the one we're pointing to is none other than the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, I think she's willing to make an exception. That we, as witnesses, are pointing the thing we are witnessing. And that is the grace of Christ. In this Advent season, we are waiting. We are waiting with anticipation and expectation. But it's also a season of remembering. Remembering who we are and who we are called to be. It is a season of taking up and claiming the identity that has been given to us and the purpose that goes along with it. Identity and purpose molded and shaped and fused together so that we can boldly say, this is who we are. We are beloved. We are children of God. We are recipients, rejoicers, the unceasing prayers, thanksgivers. We are the ones who speak on behalf of those without a voice, who proclaim the good news of God to the poor and the oppressed. But we are the pointers. We are the pointers to the one who does all of this. To the one who sets us free. The one whom God has called to this place and time for a world in need of new life. We are the pointers to the one who responds to a world that crying out for a reason to have hope, for a reason to believe that peace is possible, for a reason to believe that love wins, for a reason to choose joy. We are the pointers. So, who are we? Ultimately, we are all witnesses. We are all witnesses to the grace that comes to us on Christmas. Amen.
Let us join together in confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we humbly come before you today, and we struggle with the idea of identity and mission and purpose in this world. Help us to realize that just like John the Baptist, who we are is defined by who Jesus is, and our work in this world is given to us by our Lord. So guide us in our identity and our mission. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you bless the efforts of the Stewardship for All Seasons Committee, all their hard work that they have done on our behalf. Bless the results of this stewardship campaign. Help us to understand that our gifts to the church are directly connected to the mission of the church. Help us to be generous and loving and good. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that there are places in this world where the COVID vaccine is starting to be disseminated, and this is the potential beginning of the end of this disease. But still, right now, there are people who are suffering. So we pray for families and friends, and we pray for strangers around this world who are struggling through the effects of this disease. We ask in particular today that you be with Rob Anderson and all the others that we raise up to you now who are fighting COVID. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray today for all those who need health and healing for other issues, for surgeries or just healing in general. We pray for Roger Larson, Babe Pacello, Gary Ruthman, Carol Barber, Braden Taylor, and Lord, there are others that we name silently now in our own hearts. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord Jesus, we know that you are the Lord of life and death, death and life. You bring life out of death. So today we ask that you be with Jim Johnson and Michelle and the entire family, and that you bless them and strengthen them at the death of Jim's father, OJ, which happened suddenly and unexpectedly, Lord. We ask that you surround them with your peace and care and strength during this time, and help them to know that you are the God of life and you have given us hope. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, Lord, we pray for all those who are bringing hope to this world, who are bringing a sense of peace and wholeness to those in need. We pray for the Parker Task Force. We pray for the Winter Shelter Network. We pray for Joshua Station. We pray for the vast multitude of ministries out there in the world right now who are working so hard to meet the need. Uphold these, strengthen these, and help us to serve. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. We're going to continue our service today with the offering. Again, we ask that you take a minute and think about what you have to offer your God and this world, all of us together. Let's listen to this music and reflect in our hearts. We continue our worship with the great thanksgiving as we prepare our hearts and minds for Holy Communion. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary. It's our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus the Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with the choirs of angels and the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Lord Jesus, he taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the body of Christ given for you. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. I invite you to receive the blessing. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, in this meal you give us a foretaste of that day when the hungry will be fed with all good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and keep us now and forever. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn.
That we may have love.
peace, prepare the way of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.